good evening. In the news tonight, President Obama delivers an impassioned speech for strengthening the nation's gun laws. Continued reaction over the mass execution in Saudi Arabia. Governor Cuomo announces ambitious new plans for Nassau and Suffolk counties. And activists speak out on Indian Point's expired licenses. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. Heartbreaking stories. That's what the Commander-in-Chief recounted today from the East Wing of the White House. He unveiled his set of new executive actions tightening the nation's gun laws.
Xavion Dobson was a sophomore at Fulton High School in Knoxville, Tennessee. He played football, beloved by his classmates and his teachers. His own mayor called him one of their city's success stories. The week before Christmas, he headed to a friend's house to play video games. He wasn't in the wrong place at the wrong time. He hadn't made a bad decision. He was exactly where any other kid would be. Your kid. My kids. And then gunmen started firing. And Xavion, who was in high school, hadn't even gotten started in life, dove on top of three girls to shield them from the bullets. And he was shot in the head. And the girls were spared. He gave his life to save theirs. An act of heroism a lot bigger than anything we should ever expect from a 15-year-old.
Obama says stronger gun laws will leave a country worthy of Xavier Dobson's sacrifice. A centerpiece of Obama's plan is to close the gun show loophole. Now only federally licensed gun dealers are required to conduct background checks on buyers. But at gun shows, websites, and flea markets, sellers often skirt that requirement by declining to register as licensed dealers. The president outlined four steps he is taking.
Number one. Anybody in the business of selling firearms must get a license and conduct background checks or be subject to criminal prosecutions. It doesn't matter whether you're doing it over the internet or at a gun show. It's not where you do it, but what you do.
And Obama says the government will take steps to bring the outdated background check system into the 21st century.
Number two, we're going to do everything we can to ensure the smart and effective enforcement of gun safety laws that are already on the books.
Third, while gun dealers tend to shed a light on unstable people, Obama says two out of three gun deaths are by suicide. He says they'll do more to help those suffering from mental illness to get the help they need. And finally, the fourth step is to boost gun safety technology.
Now, today, many gun injuries and deaths are the result of legal guns that were stolen or misused or discharged accidentally. In 2013 alone, more than 500 people lost their lives to gun accidents, and that includes 30 children younger than 5 years old. Now, in the greatest, most technologically advanced nation on Earth, there is no reason for this. We need to develop new technologies that make guns safer. If we can set it up so you can't unlock your phone unless you got the right fingerprint, why can't we do the same thing for our guns? If there's an app that can help us find a missing tablet, which happens to me often, the older I get, if we can do it for your iPad, there's no reason we can't do it with a stolen gun.
Wiping tears from his eyes, the president made his case for safer gun laws, saying Second Amendment rights are important, but there are other rights that we care about, like our right to worship freely and safely.
That right was denied to Christians in Charleston, South Carolina. And that was denied Jews in Kansas City. And that was denied Muslims in Chapel Hill and Sikhs in Oak Creek. They had rights too. our right to peaceful assembly. That right was robbed from moviegoers in Aurora and Lafayette. Our unalienable right to life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, those rights were stripped from college kids in Blacksburg and Santa Barbara and from high schoolers at Columbine and from first graders in Newtown. First graders. And from every family who never imagined that their loved one would be taken from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Every time I think about those kids, it gets me mad.
Obama says all of us need to demand a Congress brave enough to stand up to the gun lobby's lies and demand that legislators and businesses do their part to make our communities safer. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. In international news, the recent mass execution in Saudi Arabia continues to spur reactions in the region and at the United Nations in New York. Diane Penn reports.
The announcement of the beheading of Sheikh al-Nimr set off demonstrations in Iran, where Shia Muslims are the majority. Protesters stormed Saudi diplomatic facilities there, such as the embassy in the capital Tehran, which was set on fire. Saudi Arabia has since severed diplomatic ties with Iran. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke by phone with the foreign ministers of both countries, urging them to work to de-escalate tensions. Stefan Dujarric is the spokesperson for the UN Secretary General.
The Secretary General urged both foreign ministers to avoid any action that could further exacerbate the situation between the two countries and in the region as a whole. He stressed the importance of continued constructive engagement by both countries in the interest of the region and beyond.
Both Saudi Arabia and Iran are involved in international talks to resolve the ongoing conflict in Syria. Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the UN, Abdullah bin Yahya al-Mualimi, was asked if the diplomatic rift will have an impact on peace efforts in Syria or Yemen, where a Saudi-led coalition has been backing government forces in fighting against Shia rebels known as Houthis.
From our side, it should have no effect because we will continue to work very hard towards supporting the peace efforts in Syria, in Yemen, wherever there might be a need for that. How is that going to affect the behavior of Iran? We do not know. You would need to ask the Iranians on that.
He was also asked what would it take to resume diplomatic ties with Iran.
Very simple. Iran to cease and desist from interfering in the internal affairs of other countries, including our own. If they do so, we will, of course, have normal relations with Iran. Iran is a sisterly country. We share history with Iran. We share religion with Iran. We share geography. And we share a common future. We are both countries in the region, and we have to work together, and we have to find a way together. And, of course, we have nothing but the greatest respect for the Iranian people and for their great history and civilization and culture. And so forth. So we are not natural-born enemies with Iran. It is only the behavior of the Iranian government that continues to interfere in the internal affairs of other countries, particularly our Arab countries, including our own, that is causing us to take this position.
The UN envoy for Syria, Stefan de Mistura, has been in Riyadh to meet with Saudi authorities to discuss the Syria talks slated for Geneva later this month, at which both Saudi Arabia and Iran are expected to be present. Diane Penn, United Nations.
Governor Andrew Cuomo went out to Long Island today to announce ambitious plans for Nassau and Suffolk counties, investments in resiliency, expansion of the Long Island Railroad by adding a third track between Floral Park and Hicksville, a 5-foot incursion for 20 homeowners. And when Long Islanders get off the train, an MTA capital plan which adds 1,400 new subway cars and 3,000 new buses. And Cuomo wants to build a tunnel.
I want to spend $5 million. I want to do a real feasibility study. I think we can build a tunnel from Long Island to either the Bronx, Westchester, or Connecticut. It will shave hours and hours from a commutation time.
The governor topped his grand plans by speaking about the resistance he faced in rebuilding the new Tappan Zee Bridge to get past what he sees as red tape and bureaucracy, which stalls progress.
They told me when I first said, how long is it going to take to plan the Tappan Zee? They said, maybe 7 years. I said, 7 years? It can't be 7 years. What gets planned in 7 years? God made the planet 7 days. How do you get to 7 years? Well, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. The bureaucracy, it literally suffocates you.
Governor Cuomo delivers his State of the State and executive budget on January 13th. Concern continues over the Indian Point nuclear reactors. They operate even with expired licenses, which the parent company Entergy is seeking to renew. More than 20 million people live within 50 miles of Indian Point. It's only 25 miles from New York City in Buchanan, New York. In the event of a nuclear accident, an evacuation plan is impossible, according to the federal government's Office of Homeland Security. Tony Grinovich is faculty advisor with CUNY Divest from Fossil Fuels. It works for CUNY to invest in solar, wind, and wave. He says Indian Point's parent company, Entergy, is all about profit.
They're not supposed to be relicensed, but they get away with it because who's going to enforce it? I mean, we don't have an effective enforcement mechanism for this kind of business. So they can pass money, they can influence people. They can kill a billion fish. They can do what they want.
You're talking about Entergy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Entergy, exactly. These powerful companies get away with murder. And we're concerned in CUNY Divest from fossil fuels because 3,000 people a year die from respiratory problems. It's a public health issue. It needs to be perceived of as a public health issue.
And cancer rates for residents in the four counties closest to Indian Point has risen much more rapidly than U.S. averages.
Certainly, there's going to be a significant statistical relationship between nuclear plants and cancer. We know this wherever they are all over the planet. And there's also the problem of waste. There's no waste with solar, but these people who are the brokers of the energy companies can't make any money. If you get your energy directly from the sun, they're gratuitous. Their existence is gratuitous. Their existence should not be at this point because they're profiting off misery and off polluting the planet. And CO2 emissions just came out this a couple of days ago. Are worse than we imagined. And of course, it goes on and on. And, you know, there's absolutely no sense of civic responsibility, no morality. It's all about craven profit from these companies. These people are criminals, that's all, who are involved in this activity. The CEOs, the Entergy, they'll say anything to keep their salaries, and they don't give a damn about the public. The public be damned.
And according to Grinovich, the NRC is no help.
The regulatory agencies basically pimp for the energy companies. Historically, this has always been the case. They do not regulate effectively. The SEC didn't regulate the banks, and NRC isn't effectively. It's a travesty. It's Machiavellian. It's the opposite of what they claim.
Every day that Indian Point is functioning is a danger. The sooner it gets shut down, the better.
Catherine Skopik is chair of Shutdown Indian Point's legislative committee. She wants New Yorkers to urge the city council to pass a bill calling on the NRC, United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission, not to relicense Indian Point 2 and Indian Point 3. This way, reactors will cease operations.
I would like listeners to know that they can help close Indian Point. You can call your council member and ask them if they have not already signed the resolution to please sign it. You can write or call Mayor de Blasio and Nilda Mesa, both with One NYC, and ask them to close it. And talk to your neighbors. Ask any of us to come and speak to whatever group you have. If it's church, school, synagogue, mosque, anybody, any group that you're a member of. contact shutdownanypointnow.net and ask one of us to please come and speak to your organization about how important this is, because Entergy is spreading tremendous myths that they're clean, that they're green, that there's going to be more asthma if Indian Point closes. Myth, there will be less asthma.
John Reynolds is with Shutdown Indian Point.
Indian Point has had a number of accidents this year, actually fires, but they're not reporting them as fires. And we know that Entergy management does not really get to the root causes of the problems. They have no they don't feel motivated until they feel pressure from elected officials or the people. And that's what our job is, too. So the latest case where Indian Point 3 shut down due to arcing at a high voltage transmission line, they never reported the root cause of that problem either. They never do the routine preventive maintenance that is needed.
Reynolds points out that when Indian Point 3 shut down a few weeks ago, there were no brownouts, no blackouts, that utilities paid 27% less for green energy. And that's the WBAI Evening News for Tuesday, January 5th, 2016. The news was produced with help from Diane Penn at the United Nations and Reggie Johnson at WBAI Studio in Brooklyn. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.